Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Pastor Phil Butler.
I am the interim pastor of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship.
Try it again.
Good morning.
Good morning. Want me to start up, walk up the platform, and I want to begin right. My name is Pastor Phil Butler. I am from Colfax, Iowa. I preached here a couple of other times, and the church leadership has asked me to be the interim pastor here for a little while. So I get to be your guest, and I count it a privilege to be here and to serve you and to be a part of this church for a little while and get to meet you folks. My wife is Jeanette. She's sitting down here, and we drive all the way from Colfax to be here, you know, 12 miles. We're glad to be here. Let me introduce you. We got a slide show. This is some information about who I am and how you can get a hold of me. I will be here for 3 days of the week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I'm employed by this church Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and Sunday. I even be here on Sunday. And I'll be in the office, not necessarily all day, but I'll be in the office. I moved in the office on Wednesday, the day you had all the water. So I walk in the door and I get this smell. That was my welcome. So I've moved into the office, and so I'll be around. And you can get a hold of me through the church telephone or my own cell phone. If you want to talk with me, you got any questions or just want to visit, I like to talk. I'm a butler. We like to talk. Ask my wife. We talk even when there's nothing to talk about. So if you want to talk, I'm more than willing to do that. And I have an email address that you can email me, and no problem with that. And I also have a website. If you want to know who I am and some pictures of our family, PastorPhilButler.com, that's all the address you need. You can go to the website and you can see kind of a biography of me. You can see my doctrine statement, philosophy of ministry. You can see some photos. I also have a podcast ministry called Accent in the Bible. I do a 5 to 7 minute podcast every week, and you can hear some podcast programs that I've done in the past several months. And so if you want to know a little bit more about me, you can go to that website and learn a little bit more. I've gone to your website and learned a lot of different things about you, and slowly but surely I'm getting to know the congregation here. That's why you have name tags today. So thank you for the name tags, and I will try to remember. You know, give me a while, okay? It takes a while to remember names. And then I got to figure out who you're all related to. You know, that's part of it, you know. That's part of the challenge of everything here. And so, but I am glad to be here. This is an honor for me to be your interim pastor. This is a new experience for me, a new experience for you. And I think it'll be a good experience for us together. And this is a great privilege. So, good morning.
Good morning.
Glad you are here today. I spent the last 3 weeks since they hired me to figure out what should I preach. I want to start off right. And honestly, about a dozen different themes and scripture passages went through my mind. And I've been preaching for 40 years. So I got this wealth of information of things I can draw from, but I wanted to focus on how can I start right being a transitional pastor for you folks. What's my starting point? And again, I thought of a lot of different things. Well, I went to your church website, scrolling through the website, and you had a page on the website that they're going to pull up on the computer here. Next slide. You had this page on the website that I stopped at and I looked at. And I thought, there it is. Our goal is to put Christ at the center of our lives. Cornerstone is an independent Bible church that believes in the Word of God as our guiding authority. We want to share the gospel with those who do not have yet received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, while also helping believers reach maturity in their walk for Christ. Amen? Okay, it's on your website. 3 points. Vision, to reach out to our community with the message of Jesus. Amen? Desire, to put Christ at the center of our lives and be a group of committed disciples who foster more disciples. Amen? Amen? And then the mission, to take the truths of God's Word and apply them to our lives. Amen? Amen? To put Christ at the center of our life. That's a great place to begin. Take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 1. Pastor Brian already has read a few verses from that passage. It's a great text. My text this morning is verse 18. The context is Colossians 1, verses 13 through 20. Colossians is a great book. The whole theme of Colossians is the supremacy of Christ. It's Christ alone. Christ above all. It's the essence of the gospel is what Christ has done for us. Who Christ is. And as we look at this verse of Scripture today, which is really the key verse of the book of Colossians, we're going to see some things in here that we can help us understand what it means, as your website says, to put Christ at the center of our life. Why don't you stand? Let me read you this passage of Scripture. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 20 is the context. My Bible, it's titled The Incomparable Christ. Beside it, I have written the cosmic Christ. Look at these descriptions of who Jesus is. This is who he is. He is all of this. And he has done all of this for us. Here goes. Colossians 1:13. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Here's the key verse. Here's the text for my message. He is also head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that you gave us Jesus to be our Savior and our Lord. Thank you that Jesus is incomparable. Thank you that Jesus Christ is our Savior who came down to this earth, went to the cross for our sins, rose again from the dead to give us new life, and all the blessings we have through Christ. As we unfold this passage of Scripture, will you speak to us this morning? May we see better how great a Savior and Lord you are for us. We give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There's a sermon outline on the back of your bulletin. You can follow along, and we got the slides up here as well. There's four things I want us to see in this passage of who Christ is, what he has done for us, and how we can make sure he is first place in our life. The first point I want to make in the verse here, he is also the head of the body, the church. Christ is the head of the church. John MacArthur, Pastor John MacArthur, in one of his commentaries said, there are many metaphors used in the Scripture to describe the church. It is called a family, a kingdom, a vineyard, a flock, a building, and a bride. But the most profound metaphor, one having no Old Testament equivalent, is that of a body. A body. The church is a living body. We are intimately energized. We are led by Christ. His body is flesh and blood. His body has a mind and a will and emotion. His body is not a thing. This church is not a thing. It's not a building. It's not a club. His church is not an organization like a business. It's not an idea. His church is a body. I can look out and I can see bodies here. If Jesus Christ is your Savior, you're part of the church. His temple is a human being. When we gather together, we become the fellowship of the church. And Christ is our head. He is in charge of us. He's our master. He's our Lord. Therefore, it's Christ's church. This church is not mine. I'm actually a guest for you folks for a few months. This church really isn't even yours. This is Christ's church. It belongs entirely to him. He should have final say in everything. He's in charge. If I can use your church name, he is the cornerstone. One of the ideas I had in coming up with ideas to preach, I thought I'd take your name, Cornerstone Bible Fellowship, and preach on that. Maybe I'll do that some other time. But you having your name, Cornerstone, the first word, who's the cornerstone? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, "Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes will not be disappointed." Christ is the cornerstone of this church. Christ is in charge of this church. So when we open up our Bibles, and when we preach, and when we teach, and when we study God's Word, we need to talk a lot about Jesus. He is the central person in this book. When we pray in Jesus' name. When we sing songs about Jesus. When we do the ordinances, like we're going to do communion here in a few minutes, the communion was instituted by Christ Jesus. It's all about Jesus. When we do baptisms, we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We baptize because it's an ordinance established by Jesus. It's a testimony of our faith. Your purpose statements, your mission statements need to talk about Jesus. Your doctrinal statements need to have a lot to say about Jesus. When we do weddings, as Pastor Brian did yesterday and already has told us, Jesus is the center. He's the first place in the wedding, the marriage. When we do funerals, Jesus is our hope. And everything the church does, Jesus needs to be a center. Even when we have our church business meetings, somehow we need to squeeze Jesus into them. Sometimes in church business meetings, we talk about everybody else. But this is Christ's church. So the first point we want to make is Christ is the head of the church. Amen? Is he the head of this church? The second point we want to make is Christ is the source of the church. Again, he is also the head of the body of the church, and he is the beginning. Christ started the church himself, the beginning both of its origins and also its life. Matthew 16:18, remember what Jesus said to Peter, "I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." He's been building his church successfully for 2,000 years. He purchased the church with his own blood. Has anybody sacrificed that much for the church? Acts 20, verse 28, "Shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood." 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, it says that we are redeemed with the precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Jesus paid for this church with his very life, with his blood on the cross. His sacrificial death and his resurrection on our behalf provided our new life. And as the head of the body, he is of the highest rank of the church. He holds the chief position. Christ has priority in time and in authority, and everything in the church must center on the person of Jesus Christ. You know, one of the things that's interesting about many evangelical churches is how we even set the furniture in our sanctuaries. Do you realize there's a reason for what we do in our furniture arrangements? What's the centerpiece in the sanctuary? Several things, actually. The pulpit is in the center of the platform. In most churches, not all churches, most churches, center of the platform, because Christ is the central message we're going to preach. Somewhere is a cross. There's a cross on the front of this pulpit. There's a cross behind the screen. The cross is the center symbol of our faith. Also, the communion table is center in the platform. It's on the floor. It's on the floor because when we come before the Lord's table, we all come together equally. No one is of higher rank. We come together equally to the center person of our faith, Jesus Christ. And then there's the baptistry. Now, I had to look around and find it. You have one here. It's on the floor behind me. I had to walk over it to find it. I take it you lift up a lid when you do a baptism. It's in the center of the sanctuary. By the way, the crosses that we have in our sanctuary are empty. We don't have Jesus hanging on the cross because the cross is empty. He paid the price. Our sins are forgiven. Christ is the center person of our faith. And it even shows up in how we arrange the furniture in our churches. He is the center. He is the head. He is the source of the church. The third point in this passage, he is the firstborn from the dead. Christ is the resurrected Lord of the church. He is the first to completely conquer death forever. His own resurrection guarantees the resurrection of all believers. He is the firstborn, meaning that others will come back to life after him. And the church began on Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, good old Peter gave the starting message. Peter, you know, open mouth, insert foot. Peter who challenged Jesus, and Peter who denied Jesus, forgiven by Jesus, gave the first message at Pentecost. And a large section of his message, Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 36, focused on the resurrection of Christ. Our church is based upon our Savior's alive and well. He's not in a grave. He conquered death. He rose from the dead and he stayed alive. 1 Corinthians 15, the entire chapter, the Apostle Paul explains to us the significance and the power of the resurrection. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. That's how it ends, because of the resurrection of Christ. Christ is a resurrected Lord of the church. You know, all the people in the Old Testament and the New Testament Gospels who died and were raised again from the dead, and there's a few of those that happened to. Remember Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, Jairus' daughter from the dead. Do you realize that all those people had to die again? They had to die twice. We just die once. And someday at the end of time, our bodies will be resurrected. We're going to be in heaven. I'm not sure what our body's going to look like in heaven, but we're going to be in heaven to live as Christ, to die as gain. The moment we die, we're in his presence in whatever form we are in. But our bodies are going to come back to life at the rapture. We'll be reunited body, soul, and spirit, never to die again. The hope we have at funerals. I had one this past week, I understand. Some of you have lost loved ones in the past few months. I did a funeral of my uncle here about 2 months ago. 2 weeks ago, we were in Minneapolis. My wife had a cousin who was a missionary with the Evangelical Free, and she passed away at age 56. And we go to funerals, there's the great hope of Jesus, the resurrected Lord, the firstborn from the dead. We come back to life. We live forevermore because of what Christ has done. Christ is our resurrected Lord. Paul Harvey, remember Paul Harvey, the radio commentator? Love to quote Paul Harvey. Hope you know who he is. He said, Jesus lived a good life in a wicked world to show us it could be done. And he died and rose again to show us that we can do that too by the power of Christ. Christ is the resurrected Lord. I don't understand all the mechanics of all that. I don't understand how that happens. But I take that by faith that the Word of God makes it perfectly clear. To live as Christ, to die as gain. Amen? The fourth point of this message is Christ is at first place in the church. Christ is at first place in everything so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Again, Pastor Brian talked about that this morning. The King James uses the word preeminence. New American Standard uses the word he has first place. NIV uses the word supremacy. Christ must be chief over all things, material and spiritual, seen and unseen, sacred and secular. Christ must be first in authority. He must be first in our time. He must be first in our rank. He is first because he has the power. And we must give him the priority. Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and is in all. You know, when a team wins a tournament, they are in first place. When someone outsells everybody else, they are in first place. When your product is rated best over everyone else, you are in first place. Christ won over sin and death and the devil by his resurrection. He is in first place. Christ's gift of salvation is the greatest gift of all because of his resurrection, because he is in first place. I know we say he's in first place in our life. Is he really? He's in first place when we need advice, and he's the first person we go to. We open up his word. We go to him in prayer. That's how we can help put him in first place. He's in first place when we have a decision to make and we don't know what is right and what is wrong. We go to him and seek his wisdom. He is in first place when we have to obey. There's many authorities in our life. He is the first and foremost authority we first obey. He is in first place when we thank him for what's happened in our life. And all things give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. He is in first place when he's the first person we confess our sins to. And we do that daily. He is in first place when we give him the first day of the week. He's in first place when we give him the first of our earnings, the tithe. He is in first place when we give him back the talents and the gifts he has given to us. We sing for him. We teach for him. We work for him with our hands. And he is in first place when we love others with the love that he loves us with. We love others because he loves us. He's in first place even when we give him the first minutes of the day. You know, when you get up in the morning, you know, do you do the good morning, Lord, or do you do the good Lord, it's morning? There are days I do the latter. We should do the former. Colossians 1:18 is the key verse of Colossians. That phrase, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything, is the key phrase of Colossians. He is our leader, we are the followers. He is the master, we are the servants. Jesus Christ is not the mascot of the church. He is the monarch. He is not a figurehead king or just a name on a letterhead. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we are his loyal servants, subjects. He is the head, he's the chief executive officer. And we are members of his body. The wilderness tabernacle of Israel was at the center of the camp. The temple in Jerusalem was at the center of the city. Christ died on the center cross. The Bible is sitting on the center of your lap. Jesus must be the center of our life. Does Christ have first place in everything? Is he first place in your life? Is he first place in this church? That's our starting point. That's the best starting point there is. There's a lot of other things we can talk about, but I wanted to begin with that. Sometimes we get so caught up in the activities and the programming and the stuff of church, trying to deal with water, trying to deal with paying the bills, trying to deal with all the things of the church, trying to deal with the politics of the church. We get so caught up in that stuff, we have to step back, look at the cross, and put Christ first place. So we're beginning a journey together for a few months. And if we're going to honor God, if we're going to work together, Jesus Christ must have supremacy here and here and here. I have a lot of books on church life and church health and church growth in my library. I've unpacked a few boxes I brought in my office. I have some books I want to refer to and references and that sort of stuff. But sometimes when you read all sorts of books about church life and that sort of stuff, there's so much information, you don't even know where to begin sometimes. Last Sunday, I was surfing the internet, going through Facebook, and there was an ad for a book. It was entitled Revitalize. I get ads on Facebook, and I saw the ad, and I looked at it, and there's a number of Christian men that I respect who endorsed the book. It was published a couple of years ago, 2017, and it was only for $11 and free shipping on Amazon. Couldn't go wrong. So I ordered it Sunday night, got it Tuesday. Finally got around to looking at it on Thursday. My other jobs, by the way, is I'm a bus driver for Durham School Services, and I got a very gracious employer. I have two employers, and one of them is Durham. The other one is Diamond Trail Sales, and both those employers are very gracious about letting me change my schedule to accommodate ministry. So I'm going to go from 5 days a week driving to just 2 days a week. And one of the things I did on Thursday is I took a cross-country trip from Colfax to Zering. And I don't know anybody running cross-country, so I sat in the bus and it was cold anyway. I brought this book along and I started reading it. And it gives several different lessons on how to successfully revitalize a church. And guess what the first lesson is? Embrace Christ's ownership of the church. Wow, what a coincidence. Here's a paragraph from it. A passion for the exaltation of Christ as head over the church must inflame the heart of all church revitalizers. You must burn with a passion for the supremacy of Christ in your local church. Churches need revitalization precisely because they have been increasingly cold towards the glory of Christ and increasingly dominated by man's glory, wisdom, efforts, agenda, and power. Boy, that is true. If a church is to be revitalized, then the absolute ownership of the church by Christ must be central in everything you yearn for and do. Amen to that? That's the starting point. And then in the back, it gives some practical steps for that. And one of them is this. At committee meetings, at church conferences, in hallways, in sermons, in Bible studies, in worship, at corporate prayer, at all times, talk about Jesus a lot, especially his sovereign headship over the local church. Raise the spiritual temperature in the body so high that the spiritual viruses and bacteria will die and flee, and good health will result. A vigorous establishment of Christ at the center of every aspect of the church life is essential in the work of revitalization. So do it, and the church will be transformed. That's our starting point. And then this morning we're going to go to the Lord's table. And the starting point is visualized. We taste it. We touch it. The Lord